In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast, which is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And my name's Pastor Ken, and in studio with me is Jack Gardner, who is our producer. And so, Jack, good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Pastor Ken.
What an interesting study for us since we've been here in the book of Joshua. That's where our focus is. And we left off just giving a little bit of background coming into chapter 2. The children of Israel are ready to cross the Jordan River. Joshua is their leader in command. Moses is no longer with them. He saw the promised land from Mount Nebo, but now it's going to be Joshua who is leading the people into the promised land. And one of the first individuals that we come to in Joshua chapter 2 is going to be Rahab, and as she's known through Scripture, Rahab the harlot. And yet I believe we're going to see that in that title of who she was, how God rescued her, and her faith in the living God is going to be clearly seen with what her actions are. You know, faith has action, and her faith is going to be just incredible. It's going to give strong evidence that she had already changed her way of life in her protection of the men of Israel. And you would think, as we looked back into the New Testament last session together in Hebrews 11, she is one of only two women mentioned in the Hall of Faith chapter. Jack, we talked a little bit last week about that God informs us here in Hebrews 11 that faith can come from the lives of the most unlikely of people. Most people would say, Rahab, you got to be kidding me.
To the messiest of circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, people, we can get our lives so messed up, but Jesus is the one who can come in and clean us up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, Jack, talking to a young girl there in the Caribbean, the West Indies, on a teen mission trip. I had a teenager with me, and we were going around just doing door-to-door. And as I was talking with her, and oh, she was under so much conviction. You could just tell, oh, I need Jesus. I need him. And she refused. And I was like, why are you wanting to say no to this wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus? And she said, well, I need to clean my life up. She goes, I'm living with a man right now, and I just need to clean my life up. And I said, you know, Jesus does that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come to him, and you watch him clean you up. And I got to believe when we get to heaven, if they have a workshop about what Rahab and all that she did in protecting the spies, I kind of want to go to that. And we'll get a glimpse in Joshua 2 of what was really used of God to bring her to faith in him.
You know, it's funny, you know, you talk about Jesus cleaning you up, and you know, even after you come to know the Lord and you're saved by the Lord, it's something you need to be reminded of at times. I know I have many times, because thinking, oh, well, I should have all this together by now, or I shouldn't be struggling with this, or whatever. But you know, oftentimes that's just part of the sanctification process of the Lord sifting off your rough edges, refining you, mm-hmm. and helping you to see what he's needing you to see. And that's not always easy, because we tend to look things through our lens and our filter at times, when we filter that through Jesus and let him do the work, that's when the real work begins can continue.
Yeah. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at a book by Dr. Jerry Bridges on growing your faith. And, you know, if the last generation was the me generation, I would think our generation today could easily be referred to as the now generation.
Mm-hmm.
We want it now.
Yes.
We're used to it. We want what we want now.
Everything immediate. On demand.
And so I want to be stronger spiritually in my walk with God now. Well, when you mention that word sanctification, that is a lifelong process.
Right.
That God is using the Spirit of God to chip off those rough edges of our life, using the Word of God and the convicting power of the Spirit of God there. I used to tell young people sanctification might be a big theological word, but basically you can boil it down to a broom, a dustpan, a mop, a mop bucket, a trash can, mm-hmm. that I am seeing there are things in my life that are killing me spiritually that I have to get out, and I have to then replace that, which is going to honor and glorify God.
The real process of putting off, putting on.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's something that when I learn is like a big aha, and also is something to be reminded of.
Exactly. Well, let's get into Joshua chapter 2. And why don't you read for us the first seven verses there in Joshua chapter 2, if you would, for us,
sure.
Jack.
Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. "Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate.
You know, Jack, when we read that section of scripture, what question do you think jumps out at most people?
Well, it would probably concentrate on the fact that she's lying to this king.
Yeah, she's lying to the two guys who are the soldiers that came, you know, chasing her down.
Yes.
Even though the king knew. Joshua probably sent crack spies in, but it just shows you the level of intensity and alertness that they had, knowing the children of Israel were basically right around the corner.
Yes.
That the king actually picks up, hey, he got word there's two guys that have come in and they're not of us.
And it didn't take long.
No, it did not take long.
He knew right away.
No. Yeah.
I think most people look at that and they would concentrate on the fact that that she's not telling him the truth.
Yeah.
In that matter.
Well,
and that might be confusing to some people.
Oh, absolutely. Most people want to go to, well, what about Rahab's lie?
Mm-hmm.
Which seems to be, you know, one of those situations where telling a lie or a falsehood was actually acceptable to God. Going back, this actually happened before when the Lord honored the Hebrew midwives in Egypt who lied to Pharaoh. Rather than killing all the boys, remember Pharaoh, he wanted them two and under. He wanted them to be thrown into the Nile River and they were killed. And that's what his order was. These midwives let them actually live. And when the king asked, you know, why these boys weren't killed, they reported that the Hebrew mothers were giving birth to their babies in a premature manner. Before we could even arrive on the scene, the babies were also were born. And the facts were that these women saved these boys because they feared God.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this godly fear, the Lord was good to the midwives. Just so God, we're going to see, was good to Rahab. You have to remember here that the two things that she did right away is she gave these men shelter, and then she is going to give them courage, which I think is just admirable. But you have to remember where she grew up. I mean, where she was living and her lifestyle. She was in a pagan city where the normal lifestyle would actually be lying and cheating and all forms of immorality. I mean, we're told she was a prostitute by profession. She had worshipped at one time the false gods of Canaan. And her knowledge of really the only true God had come into focus primarily because of those passing through Jericho telling her what the God of Israel was doing with the Israelites, from the crossing of the Red Sea to the destruction of Pharaoh and his army. I mean, so she was really responding to the light that she had. She, in fact, you could probably say, Jack, she was way ahead of the children of Israel, even though they had greater light of who God was. I mean, they had been seeing these aspects of the greatness of God and his protection. I mean, they'd seen miracle after miracle after miracle, whereas Rahab, she'd only heard about them. And you think back, Jack, of what do people get from our lives? And as believers, we've seen God do this. We've seen him touch our life in a way that maybe it might be our health in a good way. I mean, we've seen God provide for us. We've seen that God is a good God. And I wonder what we convey to those who really know nothing about God. I mean, are there some folks like Rahab that come into our life that they hear about how great and how good our God is, and it actually is used of God to change them?
I think you've even said this, and that is that you remember that your life and your example and just your interaction with somebody can be the only Bible that somebody ever sees.
You might be the only Christian they know. Exactly.
You know, so think about that the next time you're about ready to yell to me in the car, because or whatever,
exactly.
You know, whatever the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Do they see Christ in me? That's a great
point.
Yeah,
something we all, you know, I'll raise my hand there. But what a great reminder.
Thank you for that. You look at the degree of Rahab's faith as seen by her willingness to again, hide these spies in her home. And she had to certainly know the king had a surveillance team out there. And her risk to do what she did was extremely great.
Well, the fact that he knew so distinctly that they were there, and like you said, had such fast knowledge on it, for her to deny that and to protect them took a serious, serious risk.
Well, and her place was probably a place, you know, where traveling merchants actually found place to lodge. And yet, Rahab's first work of faith was a lie. Mm-hmm. I mean, a question came, well, you know, working with teens for so many years, well, then it must be okay to lie when the situation warrants it. I mean, if somebody came to my door and they said, and they had a gun in their hand, they go, hey, where's your wife and your kids? You know, I'm here to take their life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have to say, well, I'm sorry, you just missed them. They went to the grocery store.
You know? Right.
No, I can say, well, they're here, but I'm sorry, sir, you're not going to get past me unless it's over my dead body to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think so often we have to lie to get around things. For Rahab, I mean, you look at where she came from, and you know, Rahab's calculated lie was, you know, really an amazing act of true faith. For her actions in assisting the spies in their escape could have meant total death for her on the spot. I mean, if the king had gotten wind of it, she was a dead woman. Listen, Rahab's faith came at a great cost. And I mean, she risked everything. And I would say, Jack, you know, faith is just not some intellectual process. True faith actually issues, it's evident, it's seen in action, even when it might cost me. And that'd be my question. Can our faith truly be seen by our actions? You know, in Psalms, many times you'll see that word Selah. It means think about it. And I'd say think about it. Think about your own life today and your own faith as a believer in Christ. Can others see by your life and your actions that you are part of the family of God? You're adopted through Jesus Christ. We trust that we will live in such a way that God would be honored and He'd be glorified by everything we say and do. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.